to give you another example. I'm going to teach them the why, what, how, what if system, because I want you to feel real comfortable doing this. So I'm going to start with a little what, then do the why, what, how, what if. Little what, why, what, how, what if. Let me tell you a little bit about how to do a chokehold. Okay, so I'm going to tell you just a little bit about how to do a chokehold. How would you like a way to be able to knock somebody unconscious just like that? I mean, think about it for a second. You know, if you had an attacker or something, what if you could take them out and just take them out just like that? Sounds real good right now. So, good. Is that a value? Is that a value to everybody? Or how would you like a way to feel confident wherever you were? Like, even if you were stuck in a bad situation, you were down a back alley or something, someplace you didn't want to be in the middle of the night, how would you like a way to feel confident in that type of situation? Would that be a value to everybody? Okay, good. So that's my why, right? I give you a little what, the chokehold. I told you about it. Give you some why. Okay, so let me tell you how to hold, I did the why. What? Okay, so a chokehold is a technique that we use inside jiu-jitsu. What the chokehold does is it allows us to incapacitate somebody. And the chokehold's been around for a while. So I could give some of the history of the chokehold here. They actually, some of the jiu-jitsu styles came from ancient Japan. And what they did was at some point, there was Japanese fighters that went over to Brazil. And the Brazilians got real excited about what the Japanese fighters were able to do. So the Brazilians started learning from the Japanese fighters. What they found was that the smaller guy could actually beat the bigger guy, which is something that a lot of martial arts talked about, but they were never able to really, really prove. Whereas with some of the jiu-jitsu techniques, they were actually able to do that. So one of the techniques was the chokehold. Now the chokehold, here's how you do a chokehold. So that was, I gave you some why, I gave you some what. Now I'm teaching you the how. Here's how you do a chokehold. What you would actually do, hey, Wendy, would you go? I'll have her demonstrate on me. What you'll actually do with the chokehold is you need to come behind the person that you're going to do the chokehold on. What you'll then do is you'll wrap your arm around that person's neck. Now, you want to make sure that there's no room for air, right? So you're going to take the V of your arm, right, for air. Yeah, you don't want any air. Yeah, so you're going to take... Yeah, so you're going to take the V of the arm, and you're going to put it right there on the neck. Then what you're going to do is you're going to grab your bicep. So why don't you grab your bicep there, okay? And then you're going to take this hand, and you're going to place it on the back of the head. Now, at this point, what you do is you're going to bring the two elbows together while pushing the head forward until the person turns. Keep going. And then I'm going to tap when I can't. Good. So that's how you do the process, right? Thank you. So that's how you do the process. What questions do you have? What did you learn? What do I need to know?
Can I?
Would you like to try that? Come on over. Yeah. So now this is the what if part, right?
Plus me.
So what you're going to do, okay, make sure you got the V of the arm right there. Yeah. Now you're going to grab your bicep. Grab that bicep there. Yeah. Okay. Now you're going to put this hand right there on the head. Yeah. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to cinch it in so I have no air there. And simultaneously, you're going to push my head forward while pulling your elbows together. Right there. Yeah. Now, what I'd like you to do is tuck your head right there against your hands and look that way. Look that way. Okay. Yeah. And just pull it in. Pull your elbows together more. More. Yeah. That's it.
Woo. Good job.
Good.
Well done. So that's the format system. Notice that I did. Yeah. So you learned a technique. Pretty easy, right? So we learned, first thing I did was give you a little what. I said, now we're going to learn a chokehold. Then I gave you the why. How would you like if you were in the middle of town, walking down a dark alley, how'd you like a way to feel protected, feel safe when you were out there? You could incapacitate an attacker. Would that be a value to everybody? They say, yes. Okay, now I've got the why people hooked. Then I say, well, let me tell you a little bit about chokeholds. They came from Japan originally, and what the Brazilians did was they watched the Japanese fighters, and they brought them over, and they began to study and analyze their techniques. And the Gracie family, actually, in Brazil, began to look at those techniques and make them really adaptable so that the smaller fighter could take the bigger fighter. And, in fact, my good friend Hoyce has proven that in the Ultimate Fighting Championships that they do, where he'll go in and he'll beat somebody that's 180 pounds heavier than him, oftentimes with a choke like this. So let me show you how, that's our what, right? So let me show you how you would do a chokehold. What you do is you'd cinch the arm around, you put the V in there, and you grab your bicep and you push down on the top of the head while pulling your elbows together. Okay, that's the how. Okay, then if I sent somebody into an exercise, that would also be part of the how. Then everybody comes back. I say, what questions do you have? What do I need to know? What did you find out? And here's where we're going to work through the what if people. Okay, what this does, by the way, the format system, when you really begin to grasp it, it gives you the ability to stand in front of anybody, anytime, and speak about anything. Is that a value to you?
That's awesome.
Okay.
So
you're going to give a little what so they know what you're going to be talking about. Then you're going to give them some why so they go, yes, well, that is a value to me. Because you want people that are present with you saying, yeah, I'm participating. I like this. So you say, how would you like a way to be able to go in front of any audience and feel comfortable, feel absolutely comfortable speaking about anything, anytime, any place? Yeah, that's if I was teaching the format system. People go, well, yeah, I would. Okay, good. So here's how you do the format system. First thing you're going to do is you need to give people a little bit of what. You got to tell them what they're learning, just a little bit, because you got to capture the why people right after that. So once you've given a little what, now I'm going to be teaching you the format system. Then you need to give them a little why. How would you like a way that you could capture any audience, any time, and be able to speak freely and speak easily in front of that audience and really capture them and feel connected, but speak easily on any subject, anytime you wanted? No, that's an easy way to do why. How would you like a way that you could blah, blah, blah? No, I said, now I'm going to teach you the format system. That was my what. Then I said, how would you like a way that you could connect with any audience, any time, and speak easily without having to think about it? You just kind of speak and you go and go and know that you're getting the information across. Would that be a value to you? People go, yeah, absolutely. That'll get the why people. Then you say, okay, so let's talk about the format system. The format system, it's important to know that some people are why people. They need to know why. Some people are more what people. They need to know what, right? Like they like a lot of content, a lot of information. They'll take a lot of notes. Others are how people. So they like to do the exercises. They like to get their hands on the materials and start using it. Then you've got the what if people that are constantly dreaming up of how they can use this type of information. So in order to capture them all, we're going to use this system to feed the information to make it most palatable for the most people sitting in front of us. That's my what. Now, here's how you do it. When you design your presentation, you want to give a little... Here's how. So now I'm on the how section. When you design your presentation, you want to give a little bit of what so that people know what you're talking about. Then you want to give just enough why to capture those why people. Right? Then once you've got the why, and that could be stated in the form of a question... like, how would you like a way, if we were teaching rapport, how would you like a way to create instantaneous, unconscious rapport with anybody you met just like that? Would that be a value to you? Or how would you like a way to be able to communicate with people in such a way that your information goes right in without conscious resistance? That's rapport. Is that a value to everybody here? They say, why, yes, it is. Okay, well, let me tell you what rapport is. Let me give you a little bit more information on that. Rapport is a means of connecting with people. It was discovered by studying Dr. Milton Erickson, who used to match and mirror his clients. And they noticed that when he would match and mirror them, they would tend to move with him, and they moved in sync. Now, Erickson said that anything's possible in the presence of a good rapport, and rapport is defined in hypnosis as being that magical, mystical state wherein the operator listens only to the sound, I'm sorry, the subject listens only to the sounds of the operator's voice. Now, let me tell you how to do rapport. Now, I'm into that was the what, now I'm progressing to how. The how is very simple. What we do to create rapport is match and mirror people. So we'll sit in front of them and we'll match and mirror their physiology, their breathing, their blinking, whether the breathing be low in the stomach or high in the chest, their rate of breathing. We'll match and mirror all of these things, the angle of the head, everything that person's doing. Now, and that's how we do it. Now let's go do an exercise. And we might send people into an exercise and we come back and we get the what if people by saying, what did you learn? What do I need to know? What did you find out? Can you think of some ways that you can use this already? Because the what if people need to explore that, right? So we're going to give them a little what, then why, what, how, what if. Little what, why, what, how, what if. Let me give you one more example real quickly of how I might use the format system. Let's say I wanted to teach somebody anchoring. I would say, how would you like a way? I'm sorry, what I'd like to talk to you now about, so I'll give you a little what first. What I'd like to talk to you now about a little bit is the process called anchoring. Anchoring is a process of stimulus response. How would you like a way to be totally in control of your emotional state at any time that you chose? Or to be able to collapse negative states, like if you were in a relationship and you had negative states. I don't know if you've ever heard, but from an NLP perspective, the only reason why relationships fail is negative anchoring and unfulfilled love strategies. Negative anchoring is like where you come home from work angry, see your wife's face, come home from work angry, see your wife's face, and then pretty soon you just see their face and you get angry, or your husband, other way, right? Now, what anchoring does is it gives us the ability to collapse those negative states and anchor new positive states so we can reassociate to some of the emotional states that we have when we first met that person in the relationship. Would that be of value to you? Yeah? Would it? Okay, good. So anchoring, as I mentioned before, is the process of stimulus response. And in 1904, Pavlov, he really popularized this notion of stimulus response. But what Bandler and Grinder did was, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, is they took a look at that notion of stimulus response, which was a static model, and they said, how can we turn this back into a process that we can use? Now, so that's what anchoring is. Now let me tell you how you would do anchoring. What you would do is you would get the person that you wanted to anchor into, and if it's yourself, that would be yourself, but you get them into an intense emotional state. And an anchor is based upon the concept that whenever somebody's in an intense emotional state, you can anchor that person, set some sort of a stimulus in any representational system, and that stimulus will be neurologically linked to the emotional state. So the first step would be to get somebody into an intense emotional state. The best types of states to anchor are naturally occurring states. Or you could elicit a state from them, a state from the past, like a time when they were totally happy or totally confident or totally excited. And once you get them in that state, then you're going to apply a specific stimulus at the peak of that state. That could be a touch or something else. Touch is often a common anchor that we can use. So you're going to apply the anchor at the peak of that emotional state. Then you want to take your hand off. If you were touching them for that anchor, you'd take their hand off before they found themselves in a different state, but you'd apply it right at the peak of that state. Then what you do is you change their state somehow. You could break their state, ask them if they smell popcorn. Then when you apply the anchor again, they should go right back into that emotional state. Okay, and that's basically how you would do the process of anchoring. What questions do you have? Can you think of some ways that you might be able to use this process in your own life? Right? So that was just going through the format system. Okay, so now somebody's going to be up. The first thing what I'm going to ask somebody to do is come up. And by the way, we're going to stack skill upon skill throughout this evening and then as we move in tomorrow. So tomorrow we do a lot of fun stuff with this as well. I'm going to have the first person come up. You're going to want to go into expanded awareness. So I'm going to have you pick a spot on the wall, expand into expanded awareness, bring your vision down to the audience, and get that connected state before you start. And then you're going to go in and you're going to give a little what, then your why, what, how, what if. But remain in expanded awareness and remain connected with everybody as you're doing it. Okay, if you need to get us up for the how, you can get us up for the how and doing things. Then you can ask us what questions we have for the what if. Or if we can imagine using it in this way or that way. That would be your what if section. So stay in expanded awareness when you do it. You'll do your whole thing. Once we're done, once each person is gone, then I'm going to go to the audience members and I'm going to ask every person in the audience to tell that person one thing that they did right. One thing that they did great or right. Okay, we're not going to give any negative feedback. We're only going to tell them one thing that they did great or right. Okay, so when somebody else is up here presenting, you'll want to pay attention to it so you'll know what to tell them that they did right. Okay, who would like to go first?